Welcome to Your Health Today with Good Samaritan Hospital. We went to Good Samaritan Hospital so I could get my 50,000-mile checkup. We met Nurse Jackie Green, who runs that program, and she tells us a little bit about herself and what's included during this health checkup.
I manage the Good Health Center, which is a health promotion wellness area. I've been at Good Sam for 31 years, and this is a fairly new program that we started back in June and has been very successful. And what we're trying to do is take care of the baby boomers who aren't taking care of themselves. You know, we don't take the time to take care of ourselves overall, you know, between work and family and every other obligation you can name. So what this program offers is a series of screenings that you usually don't get within a normal physician's office visit. So in other words, today we're going to draw an entire profile of blood. We're going to look at your chemistries, your cholesterol, your thyroid, your prostate. We're going to take your blood pressure, your oxygen levels. We will get your height and weight. We will do a hearing screen, vision screen. We're going to do a breathing test, which is called spirometry. We're going to test the blood flow down your legs. And then we're going to take you for a 6-minute walk in the gym. Once I get all those results, I'm going to put them together in a spreadsheet. So you will receive in the mail, hopefully within 10 days, 2 weeks, an entire spreadsheet containing all your results and any recommendations that we make.
Pretty comprehensive.
Yes.
So what are we testing for?
Here we're going to test your blood counts. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're not anemic, you've got good blood counts, good clotting. We're going to test for your blood sugar, lipids, cholesterol profile, chemistries, kidney function, liver function, thyroid, and prostate.
That's amazing.
That was painless.
Good. My intent is not to hurt.
Now we're taking my blood pressure, correct?
Yes.
Listening for my pulse.
Your arm a little bit. That's it. When you take a blood pressure, your arm should not be above heart level. And it doesn't keep you that. Pretty healthy. 112 over 70.
That's good.
You could probably sell that. Alrighty, we're going to get your weight.
188.
That's it. 10.3% body fat. That's pretty impressive.
From there, we moved to a second room where they fed me breakfast and reviewed my complete medical history. With all that information taken into account, Nurse Jackie Green started the next test.
What we're going to do now is we're going to get you on the stretcher. We're going to do a 12-lead EKG.
Okay.
And we're going to test the blood flow to your legs.
Okay, let's do it.
What we do is place little electrodes around the framing of the heart. And what it sort of does is take a snapshot of the different areas of muscle around the heart. When we look at the waveforms, we can then interpret them to see if there's any irregularity in the heartbeat, any blood flow issues, those kinds of things. Okie dokie.
Yes?
Looks good. We're going to now do the blood flow study to your feet.
Okay.
So what we do with that is we are going to compare the blood pressure in your arms to the blood pressure in your legs, and that tells us how the blood flow is getting down to your feet. Do you ever experience cold feet, tingling, discomfort?
No.
Very good. What we do is we have a formula, and we're going to calculate and give you a number. If the number is above 1.0, then you have a normal blood flow. And yours, we don't even have to do the calculation. Yours is so good. Okay.
Right.
Now.
What is that? What are you going to do with that?
See if you can hear.
Oh, that's for a hearing test?
Mm-hmm. We're going to put it up to your ear, and you're going to listen to first three little sounds.
Am I supposed to be hearing like a vibration?
It should be like a...
Yeah, I was hearing the pressure.
Yeah, some people are not quite sure what to listen for either, so...
Heard that.
So you're good.
What's interesting about this process is that none of the procedures that you're doing seem like over the top. You know what I'm saying? Like people who have whole body scans or whatever. This is not... These are very simplistic procedures.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yet give you good, concrete results.
Join us next time when I finish this amazing procedure, the 50,000-mile checkup with Nurse Jackie Green at Good Samaritan Hospital. You can call 410-GOOD-SAM or visit goodsamisgoodhealth.org for your 50,000-mile checkup. What you're hearing under me is a rendition of Lift Every Voice and Sing. You know what that is. Well, if you don't, some of you don't, Lift Every Voice and Sing was known for many years and still is in much of the black world as the Negro National Anthem. This is being performed in a very special way. This is an hour of Umoja Gaelica here on the Mark Steiner Show. That's the voice of Leah Gilmore that you hear right now. And this is the African-American world of music and culture marrying the Scottish world of music and culture in Umoja Gaelica. We're going to talk about how that happened in the course of this hour. And here's some songs from within the studio. We have a keyboard. We got a Bowden.
Bowron.
Bowron. And guitar and voice. Leah Gilmore is here. She's a vocalist and visionary behind Umoja Gaelica. She was named one of the 25 women shaping the world by Essence magazine. She's a winner of Keeping the Blues Alive, W.C. Handy Award, the Grammys of the Blues, for historical and contemporary work on women in the blues. Of course, she's the cultural correspondent here on the Mark Steiner Show as well. Eric Byrd is with her, who's been working, accompanying her for a long time. He's a pianist, primary arranger in Umoja Gaelica, and a music lecturer at McDaniel College here in Maryland. Paul Creighton is with us. Creighton. Paul Creighton, who is a Scottish musical instrumentalist musician and teacher of multicultural studies and peace education, who wrote the curriculum for peace education for Scottish schools. Frank McGuire is with us. He's a percussionist in Umoja Gaelica, has performed with many other groups in Britain and around the U.S., and he set up the first Bowdoin, say it right this time, Bowdoin School in Russia. And Dr. Pamela Zappardino is with us. She's co-director of the Ira and Mary Zipp Center for Nonviolence and Peace Education, a program of Common Ground on the Hill where they all played, as well as being an artist. Folks, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Glad to be here.
Let's hear a little bit of this, and we'll come back to our conversation. We're going to hear live music here in the course of this hour. Let's talk about this Umoja Gaelica. I remember when, Leah, you wrote me from Scotland.
or texted me from Scotland,
talking about these men that you've been working with and met over there and collaborating with.
And women.
Well, we're the only woman singing in the studio today. I said, no, there's women as well.
Right.
To talk about the story you told and where the beginnings of Umoja Gaelica came from.
Well, it was really such an organic thing happening. You know, I've been blessed to have the opportunity to travel to Scotland a few times through Common Ground on the Hill Music and Arts Camp, where we all met and really started.
Oh, you met here?
We met here in the States first. Uh-huh. And then I traveled to Scotland, to Common Ground Scotland, and did a few concerts with Paul and met Frank later. And I was sitting there just listening to the music and talking about stories of oppression. And I thought, God, we have so much in common. That doesn't look like we have so much in common. And then I heard Frank last year play the Bowron, and I had my eyes closed, and I thought I was listening to West African drums. It's absolutely amazing. So then this idea popped in our head, and Paul and I went to lunch, and the rest is musical history.
But let me do this. Since you just mentioned that, let me ask Frank to play the Bowron maybe a little bit to get the sense of what Leah was talking about, and when she said she felt like she was listening to African drums. Sure. Give us a little bit of that. I love that.
Frank McGuire is one of the leading Bowron players in UK, and I guess around the world. He's very in demand. So we're so blessed to have him here with us.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So just talk to Frank about the Bowron and what we just heard there. I mean, because it does sound. If you didn't know the music, you say, "Oh, it's African music," but this is Scottish music.
It's actually it's indigenous to Ireland, the drum, Ireland and Scotland. So it's actually a Celtic instrument, if you like, you know, which would be probably the heartbeat of the indigenous music of Ireland and Scotland, you know. But I think a lot of the rhythms follow the same rhythms and patterns, and that's something I became very aware of early, of African music, you know, and even Cuban music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially African music, I think you can hear a lot of the same rhythms, you know, and I have played it along with Afro-American music, so it fits in really well, you know, but it is an indigenous instrument to Scotland and Ireland.
I know you play the flute as well, which we'll hear a little later, and we heard in this piece, and reed instruments in the drum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are two of our most ancient forms.
It is indeed. That's probably the most basic form of traditional music, in particular the drum, because the drum came before probably anything else, and then wind-blown instruments, you know. So the marrying of the drum and the flute or the whistle was probably the earliest form of traditional music in Ireland or Scotland, probably anywhere in the world, actually.
So it's interesting. I wonder, just thinking about that idea, just to kick it around for a minute, I mean, the idea that reed instruments and drums and beating drums, it's almost like this, as if it's the rhythm, the natural rhythm of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Coming out in every culture.
Right.
Yep. Right. Yep. And that's why we saw the similarities between our cultures, and we just think us being together on stage speaks for itself as well. You know, it shows that we have so much more in common than we do different. Yet, the differences are so awesome as well. So we should celebrate that diversity while also seeing how much we have in common. And music has always been, you know, kind of the soundtrack of our experiences, period.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear Frank play the drums, it really is. I like the thing about the heartbeat. Just like in African-American culture, the drum is so amazingly important to us, so important that when we were enslaved, it was taken away.
In America.
It was taken away and outlawed. You could be killed for playing the drums. And something very similar also happened in Scotland.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very reminiscent to the situation that happened in Scotland and Ireland, you know, in particular in Scotland, where they forbid the playing of traditional music, wearing traditional dress, which would have been the philibeg and the philamore, the philibeg being the kilt, the philamore being the belted plaid, and the playing of traditional music, in particular the pipes, under pain of death. Under pain of death, you would have been hung.
What do you think about when you think about what happened here with taking away drums from the African slaves and stopping the Scots and the Irish from using their drums? What do you think that was? Why? What was it about that they had to ban it? Do you think?
I think after the rebellion, the Jacobite uprising in Scotland, I think they wanted to, you know, rid themselves of a troublesome people, try and get rid of an indigenous way of life. Which almost succeeded in doing. I think one way to do that is to take away the music, because the music's a heartbeat of the people, you know. That's how we express myself, you know, in all cultures all over the world. So to put a cap on that and stop it was one good way of oppressing the people.
A couple of things I'd like to... Could jump in, please, Eric.
I was just thinking, as you were talking, how I think the word heartbeat has been used.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, and so that is essentially what it is. That's what links us all in the human race, is the heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of musicians, and especially West Africa, refer to the drum as the heartbeat of the music or the heartbeat of the song. And so that is just transcendent, I think. I think it just transcends anything. That's why it's so important.
Music also is such a strong form of communication.
True.
It communicates at a visceral level, I think. You can communicate without words, and I think communication among oppressed peoples has always frightened those in power.
You're right.
Mm. That's good, yeah.
That's true.
Very well said. And you don't have to – the thing about music is you don't have to understand a language. Or there doesn't need to be any language happening.
Mm-hmm.
We're so lucky to have the opportunity, Eric and I, to travel around the world doing this. And, you know, you can sing Precious Lord, and no one may not understand what you're saying, but our souls talk to each other. So this music, Umoja Gaelica, for us is really soul music. It's music that's speaking to each other's souls. And that's where real change happened, real fundamental change of understanding fellow humanity, fellow humans, doesn't happen at the cerebral level, but it happens at the soul level. And that's why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get an amen?
My
amen.
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 All right.
So
I'll
give
amen.
I like to pass the plate around right now.
All right.
That's the next hour.
The plate is what
well,
I want to know.
That's
right. That's the next hour.
That's we next use hour. Frank's bow rod.
That's right.
Well, and it's interesting that when, as you were speaking, Frank, you used the word like at least five or six times or more, indigenous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's and I think that the idea that the people of Scotland are kind of getting hold again of our indigenous roots is...
I think so. I think there's been massive movement towards keeping the Gaelic tradition alive in schools, and now children have been educated in their traditions, because for a long time it wasn't there, you know. I mean, it was almost successfully destroyed, you know. That's why, I mean, if you go to places like Cape Breton, you know, you'll find...
In France? No, in Canada?
Yeah, in Canada.
You'll find
you'll find probably more Scots there than there is in Scotland, you know, because that's where they all went, you know, apart from the American colonies and stuff. But and they all speak the Gaelic, you know, they have a very vibrant, living Gaelic tradition. But it's back again in Scotland, which is important, you know, because it's important to be aware of your roots, and the foundations of your roots, you know. And that was something when Leah and I were discussing about the experiences of the Celts when they came to America, in particular the Irish were treated very, very much like Afro-American people. I mean, they were really seen as pretty low life.
Less than human, almost.
Yeah.
So dogs, no colour,
yeah,
no Irish.
That's
right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So that experience through the conversation we had kind of brought it to life quite vividly to me, the similarities. In a lot of ways, they were cultures, and I suppose a lot of other cultures as well, you know. But it became very clear that we had something in common, you know, through the music, you know, through our cultural stories and backgrounds. And when we decided to fuse that together, we tried music, and I'm quite sure Eric was quite surprised when he first heard it, you know. It just worked.
It just worked
perfect.
Yeah.
Really, and almost instantly, didn't it?
It did. It was really
what was the piece you did?
Say that again?
What were you talking about? What piece did you do then?
We did. Actually, we did a few pieces, but we had absolutely no idea how any of this was going to work. But, you know, Eric is my partner in musical crime or justice, whatever that is. And Paul and Frank believed in it so much. And there are 10 other musicians actually also involved. You know, this is a pretty big group of folks. And we sat around Tom Smith's and Maura Murray's living room in Kilmarnock, Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
Prestwick,
where it all started. Prestwick. That's right.
Yeah.
Kilmarnock was where the concert was. And we really made this happen. And we started doing Wade in the Water. And we thought, okay.
All right. Well, why don't we do Wade in the Water?
Okay.
All right.
Should we do it?
Yeah,
let's do it.
This is Emoja Gaelica. We have Leah Gilmore singing, Eric Bird on the keyboards, Paul Creighton on the guitar, and Frank McGuire on the boron. Children wait.
stepped in the water and the water was cold. God's gonna trouble the water. It chilled my body but not my soul. God's gonna trouble. Everybody sing now. Way in the water. Way in the water. Children. The water, God's gonna trouble the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
All right. That wasn't long enough.
Well, you know, we could go on. We could that's make a right. song about 2 hours.
We could do
and in the Scottish tradition, it's the same way. So that's why we meld so
we
much.
We can let it go on. I wasn't rushing you.
Well, we know. It's only like an hour show.
So. Oh, we've got plenty of time. 410-319-8888. The lines are open today. Umoja Gallica is in the house. We're talking about the marriage of African, American, and Scottish music musicians and culture. In the studio today, you heard Leah Gilmore, great vocalist and the visionary behind Umoja Gallica, Eric Byrd, playing on the keyboards, who is a primary arranger for Umoja Gallica. Two men joining us from Scotland. Actually, they're not joining us now from Scotland. They're joining us here because they were all on common ground on the hill over the last 2 weeks teaching and doing workshops, which is how everybody came together in the first place.
That's right.
It's another common ground on the hill production. Paul Creighton is with us, who... He's on the guitar, and we want to learn a great deal more about peace education and multicultural studies that he's been working on in Scotland. Frank McGuire playing the bodhrán, which is just an amazing piece of percussion, and one of the great percussionists on the planet playing that instrument. And Dr. Pamela Zappardino is co-director of the Ira Mary Zepp Center for Nonviolence and Peace Education, which is a program of Common Ground on the Hill. And all the proceeds from the CD that get sold go to support
the
Zepp Center for Nonviolence and Peace Education. 410-319-8888 is the number here to join us on this show right now. 410-319-8888. I do want to learn a lot more about this, the peace education aspect of this, because one of the things about the music that comes together here and what comes together in Common Ground on the Hill is always the kind of the marriage, the fight for social justice with our culture and our music. And so I'm curious, it's sort of, we haven't heard from you yet, Paul. We're going to drag you out into this conversation.
Okay. Yeah. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you here.
He's the quiet one.
I'd like to know how you all ended up here with Common Ground Lake Hill, and what's the connection?
Well, Tom Smith seems to be a bit of a catalyst for our getting to know each other. And we practiced for Umoja Gallica at Tom Smith's house, but Tom was also the one who introduced me to Common Ground in the Hill. He had been here for 4 years, and every time he came back to Scotland, he raved about it and how great it was, the community of goodwill and understanding and music, and that was primarily my initial interest was in music. And the purpose behind Common Ground in the Hill was to really bring people together from all different cultures and through the artistic traditions of their cultures, seek the common ground which exists between them. And that kind of sparked in me a drive that I recognised that being a full-time teacher, I worked with a lot of kids and I could maybe use some of the things which I was enjoying through Common Ground in the Hill in the classroom. And embarked on trying to create a curriculum which would introduce kids from all cultures to the cultures and traditions of their neighbours. We live in an increasingly multicultural society.
This is back in Scotland we're talking about.
Well, it's global, really, isn't it?
It is global, isn't it? Yeah, it is.
And, yes, definitely.
And one of the biggest enemies is fear.
That's exactly right.
We really have to heighten people's understanding and awareness that the person next door to them isn't destined, determined to kill them. You know, we all have the same dreams and aspirations for our families and our children.
Sure.
And we have to find a route where we can arrive at that destination together. So,
Pam, you're about to say something. Go ahead.
Well, I really agree with Paul. And one of the things we're planning to do with the Moshe Gaelica as it moves forward is to make those connections even more strongly in terms of the educational components. We're looking at developing workshops that could accompany concerts that would focus on nonviolence and peace and the ways, the little ways that everyone can be a part of that. Sometimes nonviolence and peace education seem like really huge things. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the beauties of Paul's curriculum is that he's broken it down for
That's
the kids.
Excellent, yeah.
And really helped them to understand that they can do something, that each one of us can do something. And that's what we're hoping to do as we move forward. The concerts that we did in May were the big kickoff. And
in Scotland.
In Scotland, right. Yeah.
And a lot of folks, I think, thought, oh, that was the culmination of the work. And really, that was the beginning of the work. And now we have a lot more to do.
And we recorded a DVD and, again, the live CD. And this Umoja Gaelica is also the first project of a larger vision we call Umoja Musica, which is using Umoja actually means unity in Swahili. Mm-hmm. And it's also the first principle for Kwanzaa, the African-American holiday Kwanzaa. And Umoja Musica is really using the foundation of African-American freedom songs and freedom songs from all over the world to bridge the gaps in our understanding. We know freedom songs work. I mean, just ask, you know, Martin Luther King and Mahalia Jackson.
Amen.
You know, that's Robert Burns from Scotland. We know we sing a song that was written by Robert Burns, a Scottish national poet, in Umoja Gaelica, which talks about American slavery.
Which song is that?
It's called,
The Slave's Lament.
And it's absolutely beautiful.
Maybe we can sing that later on the show, maybe a little bit, a little piece of it?
I think Paul can do a little bit of it, yeah. I actually sing it in the show, but we have keys.
I'll be happy to do it.
All right, so why don't we have to give it a short break and come back right away continue our conversation with the Moshe Gaelica. And stay with us. Don't go away. Oh, before I go, let me remind you the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine. Find out more at www.hopkinsmedicine.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. So, who are we with today? With Umoja Gaelica.
I'm not sure.
What am I doing here? What's my name?
I'm falling out of this chair.
Who are you people, and what are you doing in my studio?
It's the heat, Mark. It's the heat.
We're here to take over your show, Mark.
Right. Fine.
It's the Eric Byrd Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Phone lines are open. Okay.
410-319-8888 to talk to Eric Byrd and nobody else. We're talking about Umoja Gaelica, which is an incredible new project coming out of Common Ground on the Hill, which is right here in Westminster, Maryland at McDaniel College. We did other programs with them over the last week. And this has brought together the cultures, music, words, and thoughts of the African-American world with the Scottish world, with the Gaelic world, and putting the music together to sing songs that come out of both cultures, as sing songs that have to do with the from the bottom up, the heart of social justice in our world. Hmm. Leah Gilmore is here in the studio. She's vocalist and a visionary behind Umoja Gaelica, named one of the 25 Women Shaping the World by Essence Magazine. And, of course, she's the one who brought this to our attention in the very beginning, Eric Byrd, a musician in his own right, but also primary arranger for Umoja Gaelica, and has been working with Leah forever, as long as I've known the two of you.
That's right.
Paul Creighton is with us. He's a Scottish multi-instrumentalist musician and teacher of multicultural studies and peace education. On the guitar, Frank McGuire is the percussionist with Umoja Gaelica and is on the boron, which is this incredible drum that he plays here, and one of the world's leading players of that instrument, Dr. Pamela Zappardino, co-director of the Ira Mary Zepp Center for Nonviolence and Peace Education. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We were talking a minute ago about how the power of music is a social justice and instrument for freedom in the world. I think that's
right.
It really is true. I was telling you about the break that last week I interviewed these young hip-hop artists. One was a Palestinian-British woman, guys from Dead Prez, which is a hip-hop group.
Yeah.
They had hip-hop artists who were Haitian-American, African-American, Israelis, Palestinians, all trying to get to the West Bank, do this series of workshops in Jenin and Ramallah and other places in the West Bank, where they said, it's time to stop the violence and pick up a hip-hop resistance.
I like that.
There's power there to that.
Oh, yeah.
There's an incredible amount of power in music. As we at the Zep Center have talked about social change movements that have used nonviolence as a basis, we have yet to find one that has not incorporated music very strongly into its efforts, that without the music, the group doesn't coalesce. Without the music, you don't communicate at that deeper level we were talking about earlier. And every single nonviolent social change movement has music as a critical part of it. And that says something really important, I think, that we often miss.
Absolutely. I just concur.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
So when you two, when you all first got together, I'm curious about it, but where you think, what did you all think? What were you all?
It was really Paul and I went to, and I think Frank had a class. You know, he was teaching, and Paul and I was. It was another 100-degree day in Maryland last year at Common Ground, less than a year ago.
Less than a year,
and we went to lunch at this place in Westminster that also where the Klan meets. So that place shall be nameless. So it was really interesting. And I said, Paul, my goodness, I got this idea.
Were they there then when you all were having lunch?
Yeah, they were hanging out with us. This Scottish guy, this hippie black girl. So I said, oh, my God, I have this idea. And I just, what do you think about it? And Paul and I have been friends for several years, and Paul was right on it. He said, okay, I'm going to get the musicians together on that side of the world, Scotland, and I called Eric, and then I told Pam, and we were just like, okay, we're going to make it happen. And Frank was already, it was kind of like a triangle of a conspiracy to make this thing work, you know, which became a quadrangle and whatever six is and
Rhombus,
ten.
Or whatever it is.
Know? But I think when we all met up in Prestwick in Scotland last November, and we weren't quite sure what was going to happen. I mean, we were all crammed into a tiny room. Mm-hmm. Eric was back in the corner with his keyboard.
Right.
And the music started, and it happened. I mean, not that it didn't take some work to refine it, but it was amazing how naturally, organically it started.
Well, it was really, it was pretty special because, you know, I'm used to Leah calling me with project ideas. And Leah's usually spot on, you know. She was so committed that I was thinking, okay. And I said, well, do you have any music that I can listen to? And she sent me some links of stuff, and I'm listening to it, and I'm saying, that's hip, but I don't hear a piano in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listen to something else, and I'm like, I still don't hear a piano in that. So I'm on the plane going over there, going, man, I think I'm going to be the odd man out here because I don't think. But then almost from beat one, something very. Something very spiritual kind of happened, and it just swept over the whole house, the whole room we were practicing it. And I couldn't wait to just email, call people, and I said, you know, this is – I can't explain it, but it's just – it's so beautiful.
Let's put you on the spot, but
that's what we're here for.
That's a good interviewer.
I think I'm going to do it anyway. We were talking during the break about this Robert Burns piece.
Yes.
A poem that he wrote – that what was the name of the poem?
The Slave's Lament.
The Slave's Lament. And the poem was what?
It's called The Slave's Lament.
But what is it? I mean, what's the poem?
Well, the poem was written by Robert Burns, and he tries to put himself in the situation of a slave stolen from West Africa and taken to Virginia and lamenting for his lost friends and family. And it's a very poignant poem by Burns, and demonstrates his caring for all mankind. That theme features in a lot of his poems, but you know, regardless of your colour, your skin, your race, your creed, your wealth, your poverty, and you're a man. A man's a man for all that is one of the famous lines in his poem. But the poem, the song, The Slave's Lament, does, I think, very nicely, hauntingly pull at the heartstrings. And I think if you think about it, in those days, white people thought they were actually saving the black people from a life of paganism or heathenism or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were going to introduce them to God and give them 3 meals a day or 2 meals a day, because you had to look after your slaves if you wanted them to stay healthy. So white people actually thought they were doing them a favour. But Burns, I think, saw beyond this and recognised that the slave trade was a disgusting...
Until those movies came out in America, we weren't really aware in this country that there was an abolitionist movement that took place throughout England and Scotland. And, and people were...
And interestingly enough, the first time we had a common ground gathering in Scotland, it was at the estate of someone who back in the day had owned slave ships.
Right.
And so it was a very...
It was a very surreal thing,
yeah.
Because I think Paul told me I was the first black person to be up top of this house, you know, and actually sing a song and not be a member of the staff, not the staff, but a slave.
But a slave.
And that's a very poignant thing
this
to remember.
This was in Scotland.
This was in Scotland, Auchincrew.
Yeah, the house was previously owned by the Kennedy family, and they were huge slave owners, and they had a slave factory on an island off of Sierra Leone, and they were very much involved in the triangular trade of shackles and slaves and cotton and tobacco and sugar and things from Annapolis. So they were very, very involved, and I just loved the irony that in the very room that this man would have hosted huge banquets, we had an African-American singing songs of freedom.
I love that.
Right. Yeah. I love it, too. I'll start crying. Think about
that's
it.
That's an amen.
Because
moment.
That's an amen. Amen. But that's what we do, you know, and that's why we do what we do.
So I know that we were talking in the break that if we do this, Paul can sing this piece.
Yeah.
Eric, are you going to accompany it? Or the Bowden going to accompany it?
No, I think I'm
we're just
gonna,
guitar. Oh.
I'm just going to enjoy.
Okay.
It was in sweet Senegal that my foes did me enthrall. For the lands of Virginia, Virginia, torn from that lovely shore, and must never see it more. And alas, I am weary, weary, oh. And alas, I am weary, weary, oh. Along that charming coast, there's no bitter snow or frost, like the lands of Virginia, Virginia, oh. Their streams forever flow, and the flowers forever blow. And alas, I am weary, weary, oh. And alas, I am weary, weary, oh. This burden I must bear, while the cruel scourge I fear. In the lands of Virginia, Virginia, and I think on friends most dear, with a bitter, bitter tear. And alas, I am weary, weary, oh. And alas, I am weary, weary.
Beautiful. That's lovely.
Chilling.
Robert Burns.
Robert Burns.
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 I've got to say, Leah's developed a very good Scottish accent.
That's right. So Frank and I take turns, you know. I speak Scottish.
Yeah, I've got to start talking like that.
Yes, we have been told that our American accent is not terribly attractive.
But what accent? We don't have an accent. You know. But it is really interesting. We have such a great time together. And the musicians, we also have Ilium Pipes, the flute, we have saxophone, we have the accordion. There's we have the upright bass.
Upright bass, banjo.
There's
banjos.
Some banjos.
Irish banjo.
Yes.
Yeah.
From Belfast, a gentleman from Belfast who has his own set of stories that him and I have talked about. He talked about being stopped on the street by cops. I said, wait, that's happened to me. I know that story.
Me too.
Me I bet you have, Eric Byrd.
Well, I can understand how somebody carrying a banjo getting stopped by cops.
Oh, the banjo jokes are coming out.
I've got to say that because it's usually about bow round players. You know? As a bow round player, stop him.
Right. Stop that man.
I think one of the my favorite moments was initially when we all gathered, and Eric, as he said, didn't know how he was going to fit in, and he was back there, and all of a sudden he looked up, he said, I'm playing a reel. I'm playing a reel. You know, it's not what he was used to playing, but it just came so naturally and fit in with everything.
And a reel is traditional Scottish tune. I know not to say so song
how,
now.
So how does a reel sound? Give us a reel.
A reel would be, for instance, okay, I'll give you a reel time on the bow.
It's a 4-4.
And we have a real cool song because we do Come By Here, which is a very traditional African American song. You know, come by here.
Can we improvise a little bit with that?
Keep going.
Yeah, but then there's a reel in the middle of it. Okay.
Let's play a little bit. Let's improvise a little. Ready?
We're in A, I think.
Okay, that'll work.
Then we'll do Danny Boy. Let's improvise this a little bit.
One, two. Ready, set. Come by here, the Lord. Come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Come by here, the Lord. Come by here. Oh, Lord, come by here. Somebody needs you, Lord.
Come by here.
Somebody needs you, Lord.
Come by here.
Somebody needs you, Lord.
Come by here, oh Lord, come by here.
And this is when the accordion and the Ilian pipes will be playing a very Scottish tune.
That's where they would come in.
Right? And then we come back to our song. Okay? Come by here, good Lord.
Come by here. Come by here.
I said, come by here, good Lord.
Come by here.
Oh Lord,
oh Lord, come by here.
Oh
Lord, come by here.
Oh
Lord, come by here.
All right. I like that.
But you know, picture that times what, like five or something.
Yeah.
With all the musicians
magical.
and the instruments and the real and if it can't get any better, we're in Scotland, so the crowd is going crazy because they're hearing their music and
then hearing our music, their music, then our music.
It's like a rock concert or something.
But the thing about it is, it's really not when we do it. It's not their music, our music, their music, our music.
It's our music.
It's our music.
Yeah.
And that's what it became.
The crowd just took to it.
Went crazy.
I mean, it was amazing.
So we had no idea if this was going to work, you know, but we knew. I know Paul and I. When we thought about it, you know, and there's always people say, oh, maybe not. And I would call Frank sometimes and say, Frank, just tell me it's okay. And he did. And we know that this is just the beginning of something that, you know, this is a revolution for peace, you know?
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's
peace and justice through music.
You know, that's
amen.
Right.
Another amen. Another amen chorus.
Let's, as we got about 10 minutes or so left here, let's play a. Let's have you warm up and do some Danny Boys. Are we going to, is that the songs we have on the besides my throwing out these impromptu things. You will hit me later.
I'll talk to you later, Mark Steiner. You know, I live in Baltimore, so.
Right. I knew. Watch out. Throw this improv on me like
that. Daddy Boy is a very, I'm going to say something intellectual now, okay?
I'm sorry.
Daddy Boy is a very, very kind of quintessential Irish or Celtic tune, but it's also a very, very famous black gospel song. Hmm. And so we've merged these together. We'll just do a little bit of it. Shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died. Taught my heart to fear. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. He looked beyond my faults and saw.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much. That was just,
thank you.
It is amazing. This sound that you're all putting together. So when does this CD come out?
We hope by the end of the year. We hope by the end of the year. By the end of the year.
We hope off.
Yeah, that's right. Because we're really looking for 2011 to 2012 to do, to tour with it and to have this product so we can raise money for the Zep Center, but also raise awareness for social justice, you know, through our music. I mean, we're all extremely dedicated.
I mean, one of the things you all talked about here in the course of this hour was, and you've talked about it a lot, Leah, is this, the whole idea of Emoja Gaelica, marrying the worlds and the culture and music of those worlds, and the power of music as a force for change, for social justice.
Sure. Right.
I mean, that is. I mean, I was thinking about what you were saying earlier, Frank McGuire, about, you know, when the pipes and the drums were banned from Scotland and banned from Ireland. We talk about the drums and the music being banned from America during slavery and stopping the music, and then how much of it that the power of it is what kind of fills people with the power to
that's right
to survive
it motivates
and move on.
You. That's right. before the marches, the civil rights marches, they would gather in the basements
and sing,
you know, that we'd sing, you know, we're marching up to Zion, we're marching to Freedom Land. We take those spirituals and sing these songs to motivate us.
Think about the African-American experience and then take away the music.
There you go.
Right.
Or think about when I was in college, you study the Holocaust. I studied the Holocaust. And they sang. They played in the prison camps. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about the struggle without the creative expression.
You can't do it.
You can't separate
when
it.
We were locked up in the Civil Rights Movement, and they came and they, in Cambridge, Maryland, they turned the water hoses on us in the jails. Mm. People just, what we did was we sang.
Right, that's right.
And we sang freedom songs.
Right.
That's what we did.
And they said, the more you sing, the more they'll hose us down, the more people sang.
That's right.
You know, it was just, that's what you did to, you didn't, that it kept the spirit rising.
It keeps you going. It's like Bob Marley saying, you know, won't you help me sing these songs of freedom? That's all I've ever had. You know, they're truly redemption songs.
True.
You know, truly redemption songs.
And every culture has them.
Right.
I mean, we're exploring some of them here, but if you go around the world, you find that kind of music everywhere.
And that's why it resonates, I think, with so many people. That's why visually it's something, when you see us all on stage, visually it might be something that takes a second to get over. But then once you let that music wash over you, it's like, yeah, that's my heart up there.
And just seeing us all on stage speaks for itself.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, I think about that all the time.
It's also something that can bring communities together. I mean, one of the invitations that we've been asked to consider is playing. I can't remember exactly where, but it's in Maryland. But apparently, there's a divided community. There's a white choir and there's a black choir. Our view is to bring the two choirs together, get them to sing in harmony.
Sure.
And bring the two communities together.
It's about time we did some of that stuff. Were you trying to say something? I thought you were trying to say something there.
No. I was really just going to say that. After the first concert we had of Amuja, Gallagher and Kilmarnock, I was standing having a coffee and I heard two people walk by and one said, you know, there was no colour on that stage. And I thought that was quite profound.
That's a great deal.
Yes.
Quite profound.
Well, this has been great. I'm so happy we did this today.
Amuja
Gallagher.
Yeah,
and we'll go out with their sound. Can we put that up there? And we hear a little bit going out from under us here as we go out. And I want to thank Leah Gilmore and Eric Byrd.
Thank you.
Good to see you both in the studio. And thank you so much for doing this, Leah, bringing us here. And Paul Creighton and Frank McGuire.
Good
from Scotland. Welcome to America. Have a safe trip back home.
Tomorrow. Thank you.
And we look forward to seeing more of this. And
we'll be back in Scotland in August.
Yeah, we'll see you again, America.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
What's this space?
Huh? All right.
And Pamela Zappardino, always a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you
Glad
for your work.
Glad to be back.
As we go out, we're going to go out with a little Amuja Gallagher. We're going to be hearing Lift Every Voice and Sing Again going out. Is that what we're doing?
Sounds good.
And that's going to take us out into the next hour when we're joined by Dr. Jelani Cobb, a conversation you don't want to miss. He's an amazing thinker. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com. Amuja Gallagher, Songs for Peace and Justice. Have a great day. We'll be right back.
Let our rejoicings rise high as the leaves, as the listening skies.